The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. I think there's something about preaching that has the capacity to ruin a good gospel scene. It's like, okay, I'm going to explain it to you. It's like, we don't need it to be explained to us, right? This is the recounting of a historical event, and there's something just striking about it. There's something terribly overwhelming about it. This encounter. Yes, this is the Jesus that, you know, they're following now every day. They're spending, you know, every waking moment of every day with for years, and they see him in a way that they've never seen him before, and then the cloud thing, right? I mean, that's always going to scare you, and to cut off Peter in his it's kind of comical. Like, his comments are like, they're not. They're like my comments right now, perhaps. They're just like, what do I do with this? Tents. Okay, it's like, oh, okay. But he gets cut off, right? He gets cut off by the moving in of the cloud. This scene is powerful in its own right. And I think that we would be right to just embrace that scene and see how God is speaking to us through it. Later in the Mass, we will hear that this vision gave strength to the apostles as they would follow Jesus through his death and then resurrection. But how did they get that strength? Right? That wasn't strength like Jesus then came down the mountain and said, "Hey guys, you know what you just saw? Like, that's, you should get some strength from that," because, right, that's not what was going on. They're experiencing the glory of God shining through Jesus. Like, you know, his every fiber of his being is radiating the glory of God, and that impression and what that did to their hearts in forming them and filling them is what they would carry down the mountain. And the same for us. The same for us. I mean, every time we come to Mass, we see a transformation. Right? We see a transubstantiation. We see bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. And we're not just then, we're certainly not spectators or bystanders in the whole thing. We give ourselves over to God through and with and in Jesus' offering. And then we receive the transformed food that it would nourish us in much the same way as we come from this mountaintop experience down into the depths of, yeah, I don't know, maybe not depths, but the valleys of our regular everyday life. And the instruction, I think, at the end is the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that mattered for the apostles, and it's the only thing that's going to matter to us. This is my chosen son. Listen to him. Listen to him. Our whole life, you know, and I think we look at it during Lent, when we look at those traditional Lenten practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving that are meant to grow us in love for God, proper love for ourselves, and deep and active love for our neighbor. And we see that those disciplines also are meant to conquer the world and its allures, the flesh, the weaknesses and the temptations, our unruly desires, and the devil. Right? We're doing battle there. At least God is doing battle in us through those traditional practices, but they all yield the same result, and that is that we are, through them, to be recognizing Jesus as the love of God made flesh and listening to him. Listening to him. And so trusting him, following him. Trusting him and following him every moment of every day of our lives. And in the end, we go back and see that the things that we're able to reject, the allures of the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? The temptations, our unruly desires, and all the rest. We're able to hold them at bay by trusting and following Jesus. We're able to hold them at bay because we've been called to a higher purpose, that is recognizing Jesus and listening to him. That is seeing Jesus, entrusting ourselves to him, receiving from him his life, his love, and bringing it to life in the world. Right? That's it. And the measure, you know, we look at success and riches and whatever, and they all have their own measures, they'll have their own metrics. And we're looking at it going, am I successful? Am I rich enough? Am I beautiful enough? Yes, I am. Am I I tried to get the one in there. am I popular enough? You know, these are burdens that we have in our hearts and in our lives. But at the end of the day, all that matters is, did I listen to Jesus? Was I faithful? God is my judge, right? And if we follow Jesus, if we follow Jesus in the way of love, then we will experience heaven's rewards here and now as we await the glory that is to come for us in the age to come. If we but follow Jesus and give ourselves away for the good of the people that God has caused to cross our path, then we experience this glory in glimmers, in fits and starts, here and now. But it gives us strength enough to persevere until the day that Jesus returns.